Proclamation number 4067 B of 24th of June, 1947. Electrons. And yet, the knowledge-hungry human being will be given information if he appeals to God, for God does not withhold knowledge from the human being on earth, even though it touches areas which are far away from spiritual knowledge. 24th of the 6th, 1947. It must not be failed to appreciate that God, the creator of heaven and earth, bends to his creatures himself in order to instruct them in truth, provided that it concerns spiritual knowledge. Worldly knowledge, however, is also supported by God as long as the human being is also connected to God in earthly activity, i.e., as long as he also subjects his earthly work to God's blessing and thus testifies to the sense of belonging to God. Then he can address his questions to God at any time and they will be answered. On the other hand, it is different when the human being wants to satisfy his thirst for knowledge in order to broaden his earthly knowledge, thus spiritual knowledge is out of the question. In that case, God will leave it up to him how far he penetrates the truth, as long as he tries to fathom it purely intellectually. But then always limits are set for him, for God alone opens them for him because he does not want to be ignored in the investigation of things which God apparently keeps hidden from people. But he always solves spiritual questions. And he does so the more understandably the more mature the soul of this seeker of enlightenment is. The laws of nature relate to each other in the same way as the divine principle in the human being, love, relates to the eternal deity, to the original power, i.e., God, and love cannot be thought of without each other, and the human being who wants to reach God must also carry love within himself or he would never be able to make contact with God. It is the same with the laws of nature. One is the complement of the other, and all laws establish the divine order. A violation of them creates disorder and at the same time means distance from God, who himself stands in the highest perfection and order. And so the construction of the whole of creation is also done in the greatest order and perfection. Unsurpassable wisdom established this order, and deepest love was at its root. Consequently, the creatorial, when it began its course of development, also had to reach its aim in this order and lawfulness, to become perfect. It had to allow itself to be pervaded down to the smallest substance by the flow of power of eternal love, otherwise it would remain incapable of a task which, however, is the purpose of the earthly path for the beingness. However, due to its former apostasy from God, the creature was no longer able to enter into contact with God himself, nor with his power, which is only an emanation of God and thus something divine that cannot unite with imperfection. Therefore, something had to be created first which was suitable to receive the immature spiritual, which therefore contained so much divine that the creature could be fed if it craved strength which it lacked. And thus God directed his emanation of power into the universe so that it touched the whole of infinity. Yet in the tiniest measure, for this alone was enough to fill the whole of infinity with his power. Thus an inconceivable life arose, a movement in the universe, because the power of God in itself gives rise to eternal life, eternal activity. And this life increased through the uniting of the tiniest sparks of power, it seized the dead, powerless in the universe in order to draw it into the process of activity, if it wanted to let itself be seized. The living enclosed the dead, the living held captive the dead, but not in hatred but in love, for the power of God is love and never changes. As long as these tiny sparks of power are still whirring in the universe, as long as they are still free, i.e., in constant motion, we cannot yet speak of matter, although it is the beginning of matter and the sparks of power. Electrons are, so to speak, the original components of matter. They only become matter once they have consolidated, i.e., when a state of hardening occurs due to the immature essence, which now hinders the electron's mobility, whereby the essence is now bound and God's emanation of power decreases in its effectiveness for a certain period of time in accordance with God's will, until the bound essence begins to slacken in its resistance. Then also the power stirs again, and a slight life becomes apparent even in hardest matter, when the time of banishment for the spiritual has expired. So the electrons in their state of mobility are certainly spiritual substance, but no substance of the soul of man, which develops after an infinitely long time, while the immature substance, the bound creatural, must be counted among them, because this beingness now begins its process of upward development, which ends with the stage as man. Electrons are purest power from God and therefore indestructible. They are, so to speak, the border crossing from the spiritual into the earthly kingdom, an emanation of God, which takes on form with the entry into the earthly kingdom, if one can speak of form in the incomprehensibly smallest scale. The pure divine unites with the imperfect out of love and mercy. Otherwise the latter could never develop upwards because it is totally weakened and nevertheless resists God by not accepting His power. And thus the power seizes the imperfect, binding it and making the consequences and agonies of the denial of divine power perceptible to it, so that it itself changes its will and desires God's power in order to reach His nearness again. Amen.